Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Now it says in your bulletin there that the sermon title is not the norm. I changed it. That was what it was originally going to be. But it's kind of fitting because what was not the norm Friday. Whenever the Aggies and the Longhorns played, that was not the norm, now was it? Sure wasn't. I wasn't expecting that. That's right, not the norm. But it is, this gospel lesson is not the norm, as you may have grasped from the children's message. That's not the way we would have done things. But today I'm going from the angle of in the name. So I'm going to talk about how this in the name of the Lord is so, so important. Because names are important, right? You don't just say to somebody, hey, you, right? That's kind of rude, right? And I'm really terrible at this, remembering people's names. I remember in the old days when I grew up in the 80s, they used to have the little name tags for us, right? And those were wonderful for pastors. When I became a pastor, all of a sudden they get rid of name tags. And I'm like, oh, I need those things. But when you can't remember someone's names, it's oftentimes one of the most awful feelings in the world. Telling you. But you notice people who are members here, frequent Sunday services, I always say a little verse from the gospel reading, and then I say in the name of Jesus every time I start. Why do I say in the name of Jesus every sermon? I start that way because it means this opening, and I do it at the closing too, the opening and the closing of the word preached to you is authoritative. It is Jesus's word. It is his name that it is in, and it is his sermon. And in light of that, I like to think of it, it's kind of like a signature on a check. How important is that? Well, let me tell you a little story about that. Once a father wrote his teenage son a birthday check, right? And it was a pretty big one. He wrote it for $500. The kid was thrilled. So he ran straight to the bank, practically floating in the door. He handed the check to the teller and then, of course, waited for her to give him the money. But she looked at it and smiled politely, slid it back across the counter and said, "Sir, your dad forgot to sign it." Ooh, the boy was kind of protested, right? He was mad. "But it's from my dad," he proclaimed. "Call him. You can call him. I promise. It's real." Well, the teller explained to the young man that the check wasn't valuable because of the paper that it was on. What makes it valuable is the name that's on it. And that is exactly what's happening in Matthew, the 21st chapter today. Jesus rides into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey. Nothing impressive, nothing glamorous, just like a blank check. It doesn't look like much on the outside, but he comes signed with the authority of heaven. He comes in the name of the Lord. Because of that name, his journey to the cross is worth everything. It's worth forgiveness, life, and salvation. And the crowds were right to shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because the value of the Messiah is in the name. The name that saves sinners, conquers death, and gives the church today its hope. Now, Jesus may appear humble on a donkey, but know that he comes signed with heaven's name. And there's a twofold name going on there. The name of the Lord, but also that name they were shouting at him, Hosanna. Hosanna is what they were crying out, from the youngest to the oldest. And Hosanna literally means save us. So when you say Hosanna to the highest, you are asking for salvation. You are calling for a Savior. And that's why they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, they didn't fully grasp that. They wanted saving. And they were rightly calling Jesus by his name, right? They didn't fully know that yet. But they knew that God would send them a Savior. So even if they didn't fully get what was going on or saying, they inadvertently were giving Jesus the title of Savior. And that is, oh so fittingly, because Savior is also what the Lord had the angel Gabriel tell Mary and Joseph to name their baby, Jesus. Name him Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. So, the next time we have an ancient prayer service, the order of worship again, like today, and at the gospel, you notice this, you respond after I say, according to, this is the gospel, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Know when you are saying that, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ does that. You are calling out, save us, Lord, right at the reading of the gospel. And that is oh so fitting once again, because Jesus is the gospel, and he comes in the name of the gospel. See, though, Jesus does small things that you would hardly even notice. If he was at the Macy's Day Parade, he would have been a guy walking along the side, just standing in the crowd. You wouldn't even notice him. He does things like that. Uses a little donkey, a borrowed colt on a dusty street. But the smallest and lowliest of all things is not random. It's not what was going on there. That was fulfillment. It was the name at work. Just like he tells the two disciples about going to get the donkey and the colt. He's giving them these directions, and you think, Jesus telling them to go steal? No, you can't do that. That's against the commandments, right? He says, no, if anyone tries to stop you, tell them that the Lord has need of them. He uses the name. And just like the Father's signature gives value to the check, the Father's authority is on Jesus. So, now, all this took place in the exact way that it did so that Jesus could really show that he's the real Messiah. And he did that by fulfilling what the prophet Zechariah said, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." Jesus chooses the donkey on purpose. He chooses a dumb, fill in the blank, to fulfill his purposes. So don't ever think that you're not good enough for him to use for anything. In our name, he gives us meaning. In our name that he specifically gives us in our baptismal birth, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That means something. The name of the Lord is everything. And so in that way, the donkey becomes the stallion of a king of all kings. The meaning of your life, impressive or unimpressive, comes from God's name, not from how good the moment looks. And he gives you that name in our tiny little baptismal rite. That's why I love this little bowl here, and kind of why I chose it, because it could have been a fancity-mancity, taken up 8 feet long and 3 feet wide, a baptismal font, right? But it's just the tiniest little thing with a bowl this big. And that's intentional, because I want you to know that such a tiny thing is doing such a great miracle and work. And so that's why on First Sunday in Advent, we have the Palm Sunday reading, because it looks and reeks of anticipation, hope, what Advent's all about, our coming King coming to save us, albeit by his way and his design. And we most certainly adore his coming in the flesh at his incarnation, anticipating the Christ Mass, but we also anticipate his second coming, when we receive that consummation of our baptism and the life of the world to come, wrought by his first coming. Jesus rides in the town the first time in the name of the Lord, and he will ride into town the second time in the name of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Fulfillment, the sign check. But you see, God's name does stuff. That's what I'm getting at. It's not just a word. You shouldn't use it, the Lord's name, as just a word, just as like saying, hey, you. You are not to misuse the name of the Lord your God. Because every time you use it, you are technically invoking him to act, to do something for you, and mainly to save you. So next time you hear, or even you slip and say, oh my God, you know, you're technically saying, Lord, come down right now and save me. You're invoking his name and saying, I need you to do something. Now there's proper places to say, oh God, help me. Yes, in this situation, you're in trouble. Definitely use it then. But we do not misuse it, but as the Small Catechism teaches us, we use it and to call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Prophet Jeremiah, as heard from today, also calls this righteousness, calls his name. And the name that he will be called, he says, is the Lord our righteousness. That's what's written on the check that the Father gives to you, that you can take to the bank, the depository of heaven. The Lord is our righteousness. When any teller there sees, it will deal with you wisely. The authority of the name. It isn't persuasion. It isn't negotiation. It's authority. So what should that tell you? It tells you that God's authority doesn't depend on how you're feeling. It doesn't need your confidence or strength. It's his name, and it's backed by his word. And you can trust that, because his name stands behind what he promises. But yes, Advent is also a wake-up call. Advent is anchored in watching, waiting for the coming King. Advent is a reminder that it's not going to look like what you might have thought. The value, remember, though, is not in the look. It's in the promise. The promise and promises where God's name is placed. And that's what moves history towards redemption. But Advent is not a passive waiting either. Why? Because the one whose name saves is drawing near. This is what the epistle hones in on today, you know, where Paul says that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Romans 13:11 is the first Advent calendar as well. It's like a little Advent calendar with those nice little chocolates inside, because it says, like we do, we start a countdown. Salvation is nearer to us than when we first believe. The countdown, the reaching in of the sweets. And in that way, our Lord always uses something tangible to mark the King's coming. And the real tangible thing for Paul, though, is the light. When he says, the armor of light, that's what wakes you up. That's the illumination of the day. Come see the lights. And cast off the works of darkness. And many people like to do that, right? Go look at lights. Like going driving around in the neighborhoods to look at Christmas lights. When you do that, you're not going there in the dark to look at the dark. Let's go look at the dark today. You're going in the dark because you can see the lights better in the dark. You're going to look at the light. And Advent is looking at the light. It's not sleepwalking through life. Not dulling your heart, ah, humbug. But it's also not assuming tomorrow is guaranteed. The crowds got it right. He came once in humility, and he comes now in his word, and he will come again in glory. And the reason we trust every promise of Advent is because the name that's signed on it, the name that is worth everything. Advent begins today. But not with a throne, not with an army, a crown, or a royal ceremony. Instead, you get a dusty road, a borrowed donkey, and a group of people spreading branches. And if Jesus delays his return until next year or the next, well, you're going to keep on getting the same picture at the beginning of the Advent season next year. Same old, same old. And you might say, oh, it's just boring. But remember, though, the most important part of it is not what you see, but whose name is on it. It's the name behind it all. It's the name in, with, and under the elements that matter, the tangible things and the baby things that you can see. That's the center of our hope this season, and really what we are to fix our eyes on every season. The King coming in the name, with the authority of heaven, with the promise of salvation, bringing you your true identity, which is the Lord is your righteousness. This is where Advent fixes our eyes. The beginning, the ordinary, being changed into the extraordinary by the name that it comes in. This is the way our God works. And he does it from his birthday to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. It is the name being fulfilled to you from Jesus. Like you write on your gifts to you from Jesus. And so I want you to take this thought with you today, the whole check in the bank thing, that it is a deposit slip, people. It is a deposit slip in his body and blood. That's the deposit slip that you can take to the bank. You can bank with it, and you can shout, "Hosanna in the highest." In the name of Jesus, amen.